and we'll chant 17 together. Chapter entitled The Dynasties of the Sons of Manu. Translation for text 15. Being reluctant to accept material enjoyment, Manu's youngest son, whose name was Kavi, gave up the kingdom before attaining full youth. Accompanied by his friends, he went to the forest, always thinking of the self-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Thus he attained perfection. Text 16. From Karusa, another son of Manu came, the Karusa dynasty, a family of Kshatriyas. The Karusa Kshatriyas were the kings of the northern direction. They were celebrated protectors of Brahminical culture and were all firmly religious. Text 17. Dristat Darstam Darsta Abhut Satram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Sitau Nirgasya Vamsa Sumati Bhuta Jyoti Tatha Vasu Drishtad Darstam Abhut Satram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Sitau Nirgasya Vamsa Sumatir Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasu Dristad Darstam Abhut Satram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Sitau Nirgasya Vamsa Sumatir Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasu. Matajis, please. Drishtat, from Drishta, another son of Manu. Darstam, a caste of the name Darstra. Abhut, was produced. Satram, belonging to the Kshatriya group. Brahmabhuyam, the position of Brahmanas. Gatam, had achieved. Shitau, on the surface of the world. Nirgasya, of Nirga, another son of Manu. Vamsa, the dynasty. Sumati, of the name Sumati. Bhuta Jyoti, of the name Bhuta Jyoti. Tata, thereafter. Vasu, by the name Vasu. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, from the son of Manu named Drishta came a Kshatriya caste called Drashta, whose members achieved the position of Brahmanas in this world. Then from the son of Manu named Nirga came Sumati. From Sumati came Bhuta Jyoti. And from Bhuta Jyoti came Vasu. Purport. Here it is said, Kshatram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Shitau. Although the Darshtas belonged to the Kshatriya caste, they were able to convert themselves into Brahmanas. This gives clear evidence supporting following statement by Narada. Bhagavatam 7.11.35. Yasya yal lakshanam proktam pumso varnabhi vyanjakam yad antaryapi rishyeta tat tenaiva vinirdiset. If the qualities of one group are found in the men of another, those men should be recognized by their qualities, by their symptoms, not by the caste of the family in which they were born. Birth is not at all important. It is one's qualities that are stressed in all Vedic literature. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Achalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Devamrita Swaminiti Namane Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Destarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauravat Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama. So in this nice purport, Prabhupada explains how birth is not at all important. Of course, if you happen to have a nice birth, it's wonderful. We are not against that, but if that's the only thing we have, then it's not good. Like this caste system has such a bad name all over the world, and the system has become like a facility to give some prestige and take it away from others. So somebody, you know, that's not a Brahmana, but taken birth in a Brahmana family, they think they're Brahmana. This is actually a great disservice. So this is a common understanding all over the world, that just by birth we become Brahmana. Like in Jagannath Puri temple, Prabhupada actually refused to go inside the temple because they recognized Prabhupada's greatness and they honored him and welcomed him, but they wouldn't allow his Western disciples to go with him, so Prabhupada didn't want to go inside, because Prabhupada can see how these people have no understanding of what it means to be a Brahmana or a Hindu. It's like one of my friends, we were like at a place, we were checking out at a store, and he pulled his wallet and there was something hanging from the wallet. I asked him, what is that? He said, that's my Brahmin thread. I said, why you keep in the wallet? He says, you know, I don't like to wear it when I, you know, drink, or, you know, when I drink then I eat meat, and then when I eat meat and drink I smoke. So those days I keep my thread sacred in the inside the wallet. So, I mean, this is, like, for us it sounds funny, but people do believe these things, like whatever is convenient, whenever is convenient. So before reading Prabhupada's books, I also had like no idea, you know, what it really means to be a Brahmana. First time I was reading in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada was explaining such a complicated thing all over the world. People are confused about the caste system, and, you know, there's so much abuse going on, there's so much bad press going on. But Prabhupada explains it so clear, so simple. It's not by birth, it's by qualification. If you have the qualifications of a Brahmana, then you're a Brahmana regardless of your birth. In other words, we have to be trained. It's like one of my friends, he's from Poland, and he was passing through China, and in the airport he wanted to buy a t-shirt that he saw. It was a really nice t-shirt. So he went into the store, and then there was an Indian man. The owner of the store was an Indian man. So my friend asked him, can I try this t-shirt? And they said, yeah, sure. So my friend took off his shirt that he was wearing to try this new t-shirt. And the shopkeeper was shocked. He said, hey, what are you wearing? What is that? And my friend said, oh, this is a Brahmin thread. You know, how is it possible? Where are you from? I said, from Poland. Why are you wearing Brahmin thread? Said, you know, I'm initiated, I'm a Vaishnava. And the shopkeeper was like shocked beyond words. At the end he gave him the free t-shirt because, you know, he was like amazed. But this is common understanding that, you know, it's all by birth that you become a Brahmana, and anybody else even knows about Brahmin thread, people are shocked. What to speak of if you're wearing one. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that mam hi partha vyapasritya epishu papa yonaya striyo vaishya tata sudra tepianti param gatim, that anyone can come to him regardless of one's birth. Striya, Vaishya, Sudra, anybody, Krishna says, if we qualify ourselves, there's nobody is excluded from going back to Godhead. So what a beautiful and merciful offer this is. So this is higher. This is higher. Krishna consciousness is the goal of Varnashram Dharma, and it's higher than this mundane understanding of Varnashram Dharma. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's this pastime of Subhudi Rai. It's explained how Subhudi Rai was actually a zamindar. He was a king. He possessed some land, and there was a Muslim boy that was working for Subhudi Rai. So they were doing some project. Subhudi Rai gave a project to this Muslim boy of digging a well. And because this boy didn't do it properly, Subhudi Rai actually took a cane and beat him so hard that it left an impression. And later on, this Muslim boy became the king. He became the Nawab. He became in charge and he became very powerful. And one day the wife of this Muslim king asked him, you know, what's this mark on your back? And this king, Muslim king Nawab said, oh, when I was a kid, you know, I used to work for this Subhudi Roy, and one day I made a mistake, so he beat me with a stick. And the wife overreacted and said, you know, how dare he did this for this offense, he should be killed. And this Nawab, this Muslim king said, you know, doesn't make any sense. You know, I was working for him and he was just like my father and he corrected me. So I have to kill him for that after so many years. And the wife insisted, you have to do something, you know, to take revenge. So she said, at least you should turn him into a Muslim. So Subhudi Rai said, that's actually better than killing him. I mean, the Nawab said, it's better than killing Subhudi Rai. So he went and sprinkled some water from his water pot on Subhudi Rai's head. And people back then, they were so strict and obviously didn't have the deeper understanding. So they considered Subhudi Rai to be a Muslim now, just because he got sprinkled water from a pot of a malecha. And nobody would associate with him. He was not welcome to any of the festivals or rituals. He was practically like ostracized. So he was very confused. So Subhudi Rai was going around asking for, you know, prayaschitta. He was asking different brahmanas, like, how can I become free from this, you know, contamination? And one person told him, if you boil ghee, like, to the point of it's like smoking hot, then you drink that ghee, then you will become purified. So that didn't make any sense. So Subhudi Rai went to another brahmana and asked him. The other brahmana said, actually, not only you should drink boiling ghee, you should die after that. That's the only way you can become free from this contamination. So everybody was giving him impractical suggestions. And then Subhudi Rai came across Lord Chaitanya and said, you know, I'm in this predicament, so what do I do? Lord Chaitanya told him, you know, you go to Vrindavan, you go to Mathura, and all these Bengali Vaishnavas would come from Bengal. And in Vrindavan, they eat a lot of roti. But the Bengalis, they like rice and yogurt. So Lord Chaitanya instructed, you should go there to Mathura and you should feed all these Bengali Vaishnavas, like, you know, these preparations, rice and roti, I mean, yogurt. And Lord Chaitanya told him, Bengali Vaishnavas, they like mustard oil. You should massage them with, like, you should give them oil massage. And Lord Chaitanya told him, if you chant Hare Krishna, as soon as your chanting is pure, there is no sinful reactions that can touch you. Because there is no karma that Krishna cannot free us from. So this way, Lord Chaitanya gave him some practical instructions. Very practical for this age of Kali. And also we read and also hear from Prabhupada's lectures how the Goswamis, They were Roop Sanatan Goswami. They actually come from very high class Saraswat Brahmin family. But due to the association of the Muslim kings, Prabhupada says they practically became like, came to the, you know, level of the Muslim kings. But when they met Lord Chaitanya, you know, they were so humble. They were not proud that, you know, they come from a Brahmin family. Sanatana Goswami asked, actually, I don't even know who I am. I don't even know who I am, where I'm coming from, why I'm suffering. But the villagers call me Pandit. I don't know what kind of Pandit I am, that I don't even know who I am. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, please instruct me about the goal of life. And then he was humble, but then when he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya, he became so humble. We all know this pastime, how he developed this disease, like an itch and skin disease, and it was like he had so many oozing itch. And Lord Chaitanya would embrace Sanatana Goswami every time he would see him. So Sanatana Goswami actually felt, you know, here is my worshipable Lord and I came to serve him, but my body became so diseased, I'm not able to serve. On the other hand, Lord Chaitanya embraces me and all this infectious pus is touching the body of Lord Chaitanya. So he wanted to commit suicide, throw himself under the chariot wheels. And Lord Chaitanya stopped him and said, just by committing suicide, if you can get Krishna, I would have died so many times. And also, when he was in Puri, Jagannath Puri, Sanatana Goswami refused to take the path that is easier and cooler to walk in the midday sun. But he took this path which was like boiling hot, just to avoid any brahmanas that will be going to worship Jagannath. He didn't want it to even accidentally touch them. So he took this path where it was like hot sun, and the sand was like so hot that he had blisters in his feet. And Haridas Thakur also, he refused to go inside Jagannath temple just out of humility and respect. So in Krishna consciousness, this idea, this real understanding of, you know, what it means to be a brahmana, to have the qualification, Lord Chaitanya was teaching. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada was even doing more in terms of teaching Krishna consciousness in the West. Prabhupada was doing more, like turning, in his own words, Prabhupada said, turning like fourth class men into first class men. Actually, even if you say you're a Sudra, that's still part of the Varnashram system. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But we're not even Sudras. It's even less. I should speak for myself. It's called Panchama. Panchama means like you're less than a Sudra. So this Prabhupada is turning this Panchamas into first class human beings. It's like Prabhupada's god brothers, they were telling him, you know, you're trying to turn all these Westerners into Vaishnavas. That's like washing coal. How do you get to the end of washing coal? The more you wash, the more black stuff keeps coming out. But Prabhupada said, but if you give enough pressure to the coal can become a diamond. So Prabhupada said, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to turn this coal into a diamond. And some people said to Prabhupada, but they have bad pronunciation, your disciples. But Prabhupada said, but they're very good at renunciation. They're very detached. And there was an instance where there was this priest in Vrindavan. You know, he was nice to the devotees. You know, the Western disciples of Prabhupada that went to the temple. The priest said, you guys are doing so wonderful. If you continue like this, next life you will take birth like me. You know, you will take birth in a Brahmin family and you'll get to be a priest for Krishna. So when the disciples came back and reported to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, if he continues to worship the deity nicely, the next life he will become a Sankirtan devotee. So Prabhupada said, you go back and tell him that when you go back next time. So there's this beautiful verse that explains Sat Karma Nipuno Vipra Mantra Tantra Vesarada Ah Vaishnava Guru Nasyat Vaishnava Swapacho Guru. That, you know, even if you're a Brahmana with all kinds of qualifications, but if you're not a Vaishnava, actually you're not qualified to become a Guru. On the other hand, even if you come from a family of dog eaters, Swapacha, if you're a Vaishnava, then you can deliver the whole world. So this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is, there's this verse that Ramananda Rai quoted to Lord Chaitanya. Varnashrama charavata purushena paratpuman Vishnu raradhyate pumsa. That the goal of Varnashram Dharma is to worship, to become a devotee of Vishnu. And also this famous verse Lord Chaitanya quoted, like, Naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaishya nasudro. So Lord Chaitanya went on saying that, you know, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha. And Lord Chaitanya said, Gopir Bhartu Padakamaliyo Dasa Dasa Dasana Dasa. That I'm simply a servant of the servant of the servant of the maintainer of the gopis, who's Krishna. So this is higher to understand our eternal constitutional position as the servant of Krishna. I was listening to Ramayana. It's a very beautiful pastime of Ramchandra. There it's mentioned the brothers, one of the brothers of Rama, his name is Bharat. Literally, the word Bharat means one who is carrying a heavy load. And if you think about it, you know, how can Bharat is also an expansion of Krishna. So how is he carrying a heavy load? It's explained that Bharat was actually blamed for no reason. You know, Bharat was completely flawless, but just because Kaikeyi, he was close to Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi wanted to banish Ram to the forest, everybody automatically blamed Bharat. So it's explained that the kingdom without Ram, it seemed like a heavy burden for Bharat. And Prabhupada also explains that whatever qualification we may have, but if we don't have love for Krishna, it becomes a heavy load. Because after all, this world is Martya Loka, this is a world of birth and death, is an ocean of birth and death. And anybody who comes here must die. There's a person who actually does for business, he designs graves. And people even go to him when they're still alive, that they choose what kind of, you know, marble or color their grave should be built of. So when he was asked, you know, why you chose this business, he actually explained, this is one business that the market will never go down. You always have, you will always have customers. So this is nature of this world, Martya Loka. And there's no question of happiness in this world except for Krishna's service. It's actually the example is given how this world is like a mall. And when you go in this mall, there is like two products available. There's no product actually called happiness available. There's this product called Krishna's service. And the other product is called sense gratification. So when you check out with this product, Krishna's service, you get a byproduct, a free gift called satisfaction or happiness. But when you check out with this product called sense gratification, we automatically get miseries. That's the byproduct. So we can't separate sense gratification and miseries. And we can't separate happiness from Krishna's service. So Krishna's service is the greatest treasure. And we have to go on with Krishna's service regardless of what happens, of what's favorable or not favorable. Like we're discussing how Bharat, even though he was blamed, he went on with his service. There's no guarantee that, you know, we will be appreciated in this world, because the nature of the world is such. And because Bharat was actually, he had, it says in the Ramayana that he had two groups of, you know, citizens. One, they really liked him, and some hated him because he thought that he was the cause of Ram's going to the forest. But he dealt with both of them equally. Bharat had to rule over people that they liked him. He had to rule over people that hated him, but he went on with his service. There's so many wonderful things we can learn just by reading this pastime. And I also found out this word, Satrughna, is also one of Ram's brothers. Satru means enemy. Satrughna means one who has conquered his enemies. And it's also explained how the worst enemy of a conditioned soul is this false ego. Like we are so into like ourselves. That's actually the worst enemy of a conditioned soul. And Satrughna means one who's conquered such enemies. One time, there's this Mataji, she was making samosas for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada actually went in the kitchen. And Prabhupada ate one hot samosa. And then she made another one, Prabhupada ate another one, and she made another one, Prabhupada ate another one. And she was surprised. She said, Prabhupada, how many samosas can you eat? Prabhupada said, I can eat more than you can make. And then she immediately became proud. You can imagine, you know, your guru comes in the kitchen and eats so many of your samosas. So she immediately thought, you know, I'm such a good cook. So she asked Prabhupada, thinking Prabhupada will say that she is her favorite, his favorite cook. So she asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, who is your favorite cook? Prabhupada said, me. So this false ego is very hard to overcome, very difficult to overcome. You think like we are so special, just a matter of time everyone will recognize us. And our presence is like the greatest thing for this planet. But everything can change within a second. That's the nature of this material world. Everything can change. King Dasarath, it says he ruled for 60,000 years and then everything collapsed. He passed away. None of his sons were around and he had such a hard time leaving his body. So that's the nature of this world. Anything can change. There's no other answer. It's like I was visiting New Zealand a couple of years ago. And we went to sleep comfortably. And then in the middle of the night, it was like freezing cold. I was not even prepared. So I was looking around for a warmer sleeping bag. So my godbrother helped me. So I asked him, what's going on? And he said, this is New Zealand, this is not Southern California. So that's all the answer he gave. And it made perfect sense. So similarly, when things go wrong, you know, the karmis and people are bewildered, like, what's going on? But devotees, we have the same answer for all the problems. Prabhu, this is material world. Anything can change within a second. So our only hope is the mercy and shelter of the spiritual master and predecessor acharyas. It's like one time Tamal Krishna Maharaj remembers how there was this man in Bombay. He became a devotee, but he was not very fixed up. So he was, not fixed up, and he was collecting money from the members. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to Prabhupada and said, this Chaitya Guru is too off. We have to write to all the members and stop him. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. And then again, this devotee went to the Juhu beach. He was living in the Juhu beach, and he was living with this bogus yogi, learning the art of, putting a coin in one ear and trying to pull it out the other. And then when Tamal Krishna Maharaj found out, he went to Prabhupada and said, "This is too much. We have to stop. This is the end of it." And Prabhupada looked him in the eye and said, "You have no idea about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. You have no idea how forgiving and how merciful is Lord Nityananda." And sure enough, this person came back, and Prabhupada gave him sannyas and like that. So Prabhupada was very merciful and very broad-minded. And Prabhupada also had a big vision. If you read about all the things Prabhupada was planning and dreaming, it's amazing. In one instance, Prabhupada actually said he wanted to make Mayapur a separate country from India. And he wanted to have his own currency called Chaitanya. Prabhupada would say, "We will create all kinds of mridangas and clay items, and we'll ship it all over the world. And this way we will support our country." And Prabhupada said, "All my temples will be the embassies of this country, Mayapur. And all the temple presidents will be the ambassadors of this country." Prabhupada had so much vision because he had so much faith in Krishna. Like one morning walk, Prabhupada actually said to his disciples, "Like, I know you're all atheists, but take it from me that there is Krishna. There is such thing. There is such a person called Krishna." Prabhupada had a very big vision, and even unqualified people, Prabhupada picked them up and trained them. Again and again, we listen the lectures. Again and again, Prabhupada is saying the same things. We should be known as ladies and gentlemen like this. In another time, Prabhupada said, just like in America, if every person gets a book, and people are intelligent, even if they read few pages, they will understand what's a real leader, and they will give us the vote. And we will take over the government and then go country to country promoting Krishna consciousness. So he had so much deep vision, but he left it for us to continue this teachings. Like Prabhupada said, even if you don't increase, at least maintain what I've given. So again and again, Prabhupada is saying basic things in his books, like chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, at least 16 rounds, following the regulative principles, and going out and working hard for the mission. So just by this simple process, we can become more than a Brahmana. If we become a Vaishnava, that's actually higher than a Brahmana. And this way, we can perfect our lives, and whoever comes in contact with the devotee, they will also be influenced. They will become fortunate. So, any questions or comments? Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class, Shastra Krit Prabhu. Lots of references to Prabhupada's statements and ideas. Wonderful. But one little thing that I wanted to clarify. You stated that Haridas Thakur refused to go into the Jagannath temple, but that's not really how it was. He was not allowed to go in the temple because of the foolish vision of the so-called Brahmanas of the day. They saw him as a Muslim, and Muslims are not allowed in the temple. They wouldn't allow him in. So, just like Prabhupada's disciples were prevented from coming in, and Prabhupada himself therefore said he wouldn't go. And Prabhupada made the point that, you know, you're thinking that he's Purinath, but he's actually Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe, so therefore everybody, you know, everybody's under his jurisdiction, so they should all be allowed to come in. He's not just Purinath. The interesting thing I find about the Haridas Thakur situation was that even though Lord Chaitanya is God himself, he was there. He didn't force them to change. He could have made them change. He could have made them accept Haridas Thakur and let him in the temple, but he didn't. So sometimes we get hung up on these political issues that, you know, this and this has to happen, and I want to see such and such change or else. But that's not the mood of the Vaishnava leaders. Just like, you know, Srila Prabhupada's guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he told him, we cannot wait for, you know, getting rid of the British. Our mission is to spread Krishna consciousness, and we can't wait for these political situations to change. So we should not get hung up on political situations. It's all happening all over society where devotees sometimes even divide themselves along political lines and they fight. That's not our business. Our business is spreading Krishna consciousness, regardless of the political atmosphere. It doesn't matter, you know, whether this is correct or that is correct, or women are allowed to do this, or men are not allowed to do that, or whatever. Krishna consciousness can't wait for those things. Yes, we should try to rectify, but we can't sit around waiting for these things to happen. Lord Chaitanya set the example. Again, he's God himself. He didn't say, I demand that you let Haridas Thakur go in, or else I'll cut all your heads off. No, he accepted the situation. They're foolish, they're ignorant. So Prabhupada pointed out, instead of trying to make them change, God himself was going to see Haridas Thakur every day. Rather than forcing them to allow him in the temple to see Jagannath, Jagannath himself, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, was coming to see him every day. So it's a very important note for us to, note, that we're not political activists. We're trying to be devotees of Krishna.
Jai. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Another day to prepare. Okay. Monday will be Naikatma Prabhu.
And then you'll be just. I am useless for the